Welcome to the Rebel Without a Par podcast, guys. As always, I am joined on Monday mornings by Joseph Ferger. How you doing, Joe?
4 weeks in a row.
Four weeks, guys. Ooh. Please start calling in. Give us a reason to fire him. We'd love to get some new talent in here, something a little bit different. But Joe, we got a lot to talk about today, which is pretty interesting because we didn't exactly have exciting golf, I guess I would say. I mean, I don't know about you, but I did not watch any of any golf this weekend whatsoever.
I watched about 10 minutes of the European Tour and 5 minutes of the PGA Tour. That was about it.
It's twice as much as I did. But more importantly, we got to talk about this one first. Tiger Woods
is hitting smooth iron shots.
I love that he had to put smooth iron shots.
He's going to win the 2018 Masters. I'm calling it right now. Putting all my money on it.
28. Okay, I'll take that bet, Joe. but I mean, pretty exciting as a golfer, as a golf fan. I mean, the fact that Tiger Woods is back, even just hitting full shots. I don't care what it is. He's hitting shots. He looks healthy. Swing looks pretty good.
It does.
I had to laugh. I belong to a lot of instructor forums and everything like that online and whatnot. And I kid you not, every single one of them that I belong to, somebody had a Tiger Woods post, like V1 post, where they're like drawing lines
analyzing
on it and analyzing, like, oh, he's not going to do anything. The guy's Tiger Woods. Let's just be happy he can swing a club right now. I mean, if you look at everything he's been through here,
I'm saying,
let's just be happy that quite arguably the best player of all time is back hitting golf balls, full swings, you know, looking healthy. He's taking divots too. It's not like he's nursing it and hitting things off a tee or anything like that. I mean,
let me jump the gun here. Forget a major. Let's say Tiger Woods somehow comes back and wins a PGA Tour tournament. Do you think that is the greatest comeback of all time?
I struggle with that one. I'm a huge Ben Hogan fan. So I don't know, Joe. That's a good question. I think if he wins a major and he... I don't know. If he can win maybe a major or two, then I think we're talking about it. Like I said, being such a big Ben Hogan fan.
Like, Ben Hogan came back from a car accident. Tiger Woods kind of
that he
came
almost
back.
Couldn't walk.
See,
I mean,
Tiger
he was
Woods
supposed to be paralyzed.
Came back from a car accident.
Well, that's a different story. You can't compare the two, Joe.
I don't know which one. Are we talking about the Cadillac one
or the
Mercedes?
Oh, boy. Tiger probably shouldn't be driving a car anytime soon if he does want to play any golf. Let's just say that. All right, so let's get to golf really quick. Joe, the Safeway Open, it's the start of the wraparound season. There was a three-day off-season, I guess you would say. Yeah, exactly. There was a three-day off-season. We're into that wraparound season. Brendan Steele wins again. This is his second year in a row winning the Safeway Open. So really quick, I'm just going to go through a what's in the bag for Brendan Steele. Joe, let me know if you hear anything crazy or anything interesting here. It seems like a pretty straightforward bag to me. But titles, he's got the 2017 TaylorMade M2. Three wood is M2, the high launch 16.5, which I think a lot of players are going to a little bit more loft on those three woods now. His utility's got the Callaway Apex 21 degree. He does have the Aerotech steel fiber shafts in both that and his four iron, which is his four iron is the Wilson Staff FG Tour V4, again with the Aerotech steel fiber. And then every tour player basically says they play. I'm not 100% convinced, but dynamic gold, X-War issues. So
right. Nothing
really crazy there. Nothing that stands out. Nothing to Vokies, the SM5s, 58. This is where I kind of thought it was interesting. So I'm guessing that 58 degree is bent quite a bit because he would go pitching wedge to 58. I'm thinking like 54, 55. Yeah, I'm thinking this thing's bent.
Why not just get a 54 then?
Well, I'm guessing he's bending it so that he can kind of manipulate the bounce a little bit because it is a, I guess for a 58, it's not a ton of bounce, but it does say it's 8 degrees of bounce. So I'm guessing if he bends it forward, it's Scotty Cameron Futura X prototype. I mean, every tour player has a golf ball. So again, nothing crazy there as far as his what's in the bag. Again, I have a hard time personally really getting up for this wraparound for a tournament like this to maybe drive a little bit of TV, to drive maybe a little. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, though, is I think the tournaments here
need that one big name.
They need that one big name, and they need him to do really well. I mean, it does this tournament. So let me ask you this. You were just talking about Tiger and Tiger possibly making this comeback. Do you think he has any wins left in him?
Oh, he'll win this year. Or this season.
Yeah. This season, sorry. Next year, yeah.
Yeah. He'll win.
Where? What do you think he's going to win?
I don't think he's going to win a major, but I think he's going to at least win one more tournament.
See, it's funny. I tend to go the other way. I don't think he wins, but if he does win, it's probably going to be like a Masters or something like that, where it's a course that he doesn't have to go, he doesn't have to prep for. He's played it 1,000 times, quite possibly more than that. It's somewhere he feels at home. He doesn't have to hit driver to win there.
Right.
You know, I could see him winning something like that, maybe, where it's just and some of these old guys, there always seems to be one or two every single year at Augusta.
Yeah.
That just these old guys just tend to keep coming back. Because, like I said, it's one of those courses where it's local knowledge. You know, right. If you got the local knowledge, you can compete, you can do well. So I'd be interested to see Phil. You know, we'll see. He's 47 now.
It's funny though. Throughout the weekend, when I was watching Safeway, I heard the announcers.
You did watch more than 10 minutes.
No, it was about 10 minutes. And then they mentioned this about 5 times in 10 minutes, saying a scenario where the last time Phil was contending, he saw his name on the leaderboard and he said he felt nervous.
Yeah.
The guy who was born,
I don't know if I believe
times?
That.
How many times has he won?
Well, let's put it this way. I think Phil is in that class of golfer where he knows exactly what he has to say.
Give the other competitors a false sense of hope?
Well, no, not only that. I think just for the sake of good television and good media relations, I think he gives them just what they want to hear to an extent. I don't buy that for a second that Phil saw his name on the leaderboard and got nervous.
I would hope he didn't get nervous.
Especially at the Safeway Open.
No. It was a different turn.
Okay, gotcha.
It was like a turn where he was like, in first place and saw his name and then got nervous and shot really badly.
Because if it's Brendan Steele and Tony Finau that he's nervous about, we got big issues for the Ryder Cup next year.
Tony Finau is...
He's a great player. He's doing well. So I went down the leaderboard just a little bit further here. And how about this one, though, Joe? The Web.com champion,
yep.
Chasen Hadley, first full-time PGA Tour event here. I mean, he put up top 5. Here's a kid that I think we should all be kind of watching here. I think he's the real deal. He was on 59 watch for a little while on Friday, I think it was.
What did he shoot, 61?
61, something like that. I mean, that's, again, for a kid who's just coming out here, he has played PGA Tour events. We know that, so we're not going to say it's his first PGA Tour event ever. He did have a full season on the Web.com Tour where he won like $500,000 on the Web.com Tour.
He's that guy that snaps his fingers every time he makes a putt.
Yeah, right? Something like that. Yeah. however, though, here's a guy too, though, Joe, that, I mean, is there room for him on the Ryder Cup next year? I think he has the game for it.
Has the game, but I think he'll need to win at least...
Win 3 tournaments. I don't think he has to win 3.
Win at least 3.
No, I think he has to win 1.
1?
And he's in. Joe, it's really hard to win golf tournaments on the PGA. How many wins do you have? Yeah, exactly.
I mean, on Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2004, I shot 1,200.
Joe is undefeated on the PGA Tour. 0 starts, 0 wins. I think it's that hard to win on tour. I think if he can rack up a couple more top fives like this and maybe throw a win in there, I think he's in. I definitely think he's in.
As long as they don't get rid of my Patrick Reed and Spieth combo, that's all I care about.
I think you're okay there. Good. Isn't that funny, though? So Patrick Reed, I didn't have this on my list of things to talk about, but you're a huge Patrick Reed fan, so I'm going to bring it up and bash him a little bit here.
Oh, come on.
Outside of team play, what has he done?
Not much. But
so he's really good for the game and team play. So he should just be like an all-time captain's pick. Like he shouldn't even play the rest of the year. Just show up for the team events every year.
Tiger needs to bring that team fire into his normal PGA Tour tournaments.
Do you think that's part of it?
He plays so much better. He dials it back.
Yeah.
And I think he needs to do the exact opposite. I think he needs to just go all out.
Yeah, but then is he considered a jerk? So you're not considered a jerk on the Ryder Cups, the President's Cup. You're not considered a jerk when you're fiery.
Weren't we just saying that last week that people need to bring that fire to attract more viewers to the game?
Yeah, I agree.
Like I can understand like get the crowd riled up and like fist pumps and so like, don't go like wagging your finger in Rory McIlroy's face.
I think that would be awesome. Go ahead. Patrick Reed, go ahead.
Believe it or not, though, I actually did watch that match a couple of times over the week just because I wanted to see that. And then I saw that, and then I saw Mickelson versus Sergio.
Yep. Yeah, that was another. I mean, they were both like 10 under
that
or something like that.
That was a much better match, like quality of game
right.
wise, because besides those couple holes in the front nine for Reed and Rory, they didn't really play that well.
Right. But, well, I think it was like 20-foot par putts to have. It wasn't right. like Phil and Sergio. I literally think best ball they were probably shot 52 or something like that that day. All right, so let's continue on in the world of golf here. So the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship.
359 watches.
And that's kind of what I want to talk about. Ross Fisher, course record, 61. Everybody's making a big deal of it because it was at St. Andrews, the home of golf, old course, everything.
Gary Player's not too happy right now.
That's the thing that I always wonder about. Are we that impressed with this 61?
Well, that's the thing. I think Gary Player sent a tweet out saying he's like sad because the current ball and the current technology
right.
and the clubs are taking over these old style courses. So I'm guessing this is going to be the question. Do they dial back the technology or do the old courses get a grip and adapt?
So, well, here's the thing. Or are we just that upset with somebody that shot a 61? I mean, that's hard to do. I don't care who you're playing. I'll play a local par 3 course and I can't shoot 61.
Right.
I say that's kind of golf. That's progression. I mean, if you look at the old school NBA days, for example. I mean, nobody was putting up 130 points. The Warriors average like 120 something. You know what I mean? I think it's just the progression. I think it's the skill. These guys are just getting better and better and better. And why should we be upset that technology is getting better and better and better? I don't have any issue with him shooting a 61 at the old course. I just think old timers will be old timers. I love Gary Player. I'm not going to say a single bad thing about him. But again, I think it's just this is adaptation. This is sports at its finest. Guys are getting bigger, faster, stronger. You know, everybody always wants to have this comparison battle. I don't see why we need to compare one to another. I mean, I hate all this, you know, like the big three when JT and Spieth and all these guys are saying, well, it's not as good as Tiger and Phil and Vijay.
Obviously.
You know.
No one's going to be as good as Tiger and Phil back in like 2000 when they had that first and second place battle.
But see, that's the thing, though. That's where I think, who cares if they are or they aren't?
I don't care. I just hate, I hate when people do that comparison. It's annoying.
Then they try and compare, you know, Tiger to Jack and, you know, Arnie and Phil. I don't think there's comparison. There's two completely different, you know, styles of play. There's two completely different technologies.
Right.
I think if you put those older guys in today's technology, today's day and age,
they blew you guys out the water.
I think they would find ways to adapt. All these guys would still be, you know, Jack would still be one of the best of all times. You know, Tiger still would be one of the best of all times. But if you brought these guys back into their era, I'm sure they would, you know, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth would figure out a way to be some of the best players in the world. I don't think it's a comparison. I think it's these guys are just that good of athletes.
Speaking of best of all times, Jason Duffner yesterday made a tweet. Hi, Duff Daddy. He made a tweet criticizing people that pretty much, like, let's say an athlete does something really well in a game. People use the GOAT abbreviation.
Yep.
And he's like, why do people do that when an athlete does one thing really well? And he's like, especially if they're still playing, they're not considered the greatest of all time. They have to be retired to be considered the greatest of all time. I don't think I skewed that up too much, but I was just kind of scrolling through and I saw that, and it was kind of it was different. But in a way, I do kind of agree with him though.
Yeah, it gets thrown around a ton nowadays.
It gets thrown around too much.
It gets thrown around a lot.
10 years ago, it was like, oh well, who's the greatest of all time? Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus?
Yeah.
Now we've got people saying, oh, Spieth is going to be Tiger-esque, and Justin Thomas is going to be Tiger-esque, and 14 majors and all that stuff. And it's just the comparisons need to stop. Let these people be their own people. I don't think they want to be the next Tiger Woods or the next Jack Nicklaus. They want to be the first Jordan Spieth and the first Justin Thomas.
Exactly. And that's kind of the way I think we need to look at it, as they're each their own player. They're each their own entity there. Let's kind of just compare them to themselves. I mean, I think it's more than fair for people to compare, say, Jordan Spieth to his prior years.
Right.
I don't think it's fair to compare Jordan Spieth to Tiger Woods, especially when they just don't have the same body of work yet. I mean, it's not even close. Spieth still has quite a few years and hopefully a lot less drama. You got to play golf this weekend, didn't you, Joe?
I did, yeah.
You play yesterday?
I played yesterday.
You played?
We stayed outside, stayed next to our car with our arm, which is a windy day, and that course is the best course to play on when it comes to...
So that's, and the only reason I bring it up is because it's a rainy Monday here in Connecticut. I got a lot of lessons calling me up and canceling that we're supposed to be out on the golf course. I think I'm at the point in my golf career now that if it's raining and I don't have to be out, more than okay with that, I think. But I just thought that was interesting because you
wrinkle or something. I picked a bad day to wear khaki pants. Tell you, my lord.
Yeah, but that also kind of I start to have some lessons indoors as well. So let's talk about teaching here, because I have a little bit of a bone to pick with the golf industry. Notice I've been doing less and less of it, but it's this like this online, you know, YouTube
instructional videos.
Yeah,
tailor made to
someone. Exactly.
Like, oh, here's how you fix your slice. Like,
struggle with that because now, granted, there are people out there who the video is probably perfect. Conversations online now, I've been a part of too many of these videos where people are just like, no, that's not how you do it.
Here, different ways to achieve one thing. It all boils right down to what is fit for me to hit a ball. Because that can, you can have 10 people and that generalization can work for two.
So that, I mean, that's kind of, that's where we're at nowadays. I mean, if you look at some of these guys, I mean, we're talking instructors are making a full living off of just their videos online. Is that helping? I mean, for the most, I shouldn't say for the most part, but for part of it, it's bringing very, but I mean, again, there's a ton of videos out there, Joe. I mean, there's a million. I tried to break into this space a little bit before I realized that it's not for me, I don't think.
I see maybe that combined with, I know a lot of the YouTube teaching pros are doing a lot of on-course vlogs too,
yep,
with professionals.
Right, see,
I think that's awesome.
That's exactly what I would agree with. And that's why we've even started going on our YouTube, my YouTube channel, Dan Gauthier Golf. Shameless plug there.
Plug it.
But I mean, we've been going out and we've been doing these little challenges out on the golf course, things like that. I think that's fun. I think that brings people into a different view. Doesn't necessarily help grow the game per se.
Right, but for this facility here, we had those two videos and it was two of the highest watched videos that we've had.
Right.
And people generally, I think people generally enjoy seeing a side of us and our GM and head pro, because they're in there too, that they wouldn't normally see unless they were out on the course with us. But.
So, I mean, even just teaching age, technology, things like this. I mean, I had a student last night sent me a video of their golf swing on my phone. I threw it right up onto V1. I did a little voiceover, drew some lines, and I texted it back to him. I mean, it was probably about a minute and a half worth of work. You know, I think that's what this golden age of instruction, that's what it should go to. You know, I wasn't able to do everything that I would like to because it was a 30-second video. I mean, I hadn't seen him swing in maybe 2 or 3 weeks. That I used the video that he sent me. And again, I know 2D is not the best way to go. I didn't have launch monitor numbers. But for the most part, I was able to kind of straighten him out in 30 seconds and at least get him to a point where he's enjoying it again. He's not struggling with ball contact as much. So I just think we're in this golden age of teaching technology where I think some people think, man, this is just way too much. Jack never would have had a TrackMan or, right. You know, 3D. It's but again, I think that's exactly. I think that's a product of our generations. Just like we just said with comparing these guys, I think if these guys had that technology and they had access to it, I think they'd be crazy not to use it if it could help them win one more tournament, help them win one more major, take one more shot off a round. That's why we see these guys using it nowadays. I mean, DJ's out there every single week with his TrackMan.
Yeah.
If you go to a PGA Tour event Monday through Wednesday, I mean, I would say 90% of the field,
you'll see all the orange boxes.
they have some sort of launch monitor aid, you know, there that they can kind of just check numbers on. If you look at the PGAtour.com, they do this thing where they follow guys around. What's their pre-round warm-up routine?
Yeah.
I mean, most of these guys are taking a cell phone out and just checking one or two things here before they go out. So I think in an age of technology, without us getting into instruction too much, because I'd love to sit here and talk, you know, wrist angles and planes and everything, you know, center pressures and everything. I'd love to sit here and talk about that with you. But I don't think that does anything for the general public out there, though. I think...
Well, for the general public looking to improve, the first thing they got to do is realize, okay, are they a visual learner, auditorial learner, or kinesthetic learner? Like, I can be a kinesthetic learner and send you a video on your phone. You can analyze my swing via V1, but then that would do nothing to help me because I need that, like, sensation and that feel of what I need to work on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
So in a way that does help, but I think people need to realize, okay, what type of learner am I before they kind of jump on the whole technological bandwagon?
Yeah, and I mean, I just think it's one of these things where I think we can take advantage of a lot of this stuff that's not so generic. I mean, I think people, like I just wrote an article that'll be coming out on WRX here just about training plans and practice plans and things like that. And it's one of these things where I know somebody's going to read it and they're going to say, oh, well, I struggle with this, so this wouldn't work. Or I said, but the gist of the article is you should be keeping stats and having a coach make this plan for you. And it should be, you know, that's where I think technology really comes in nowadays.
So how many people go to the range without a plan and just beat up golf balls?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what kind of the gist of the article there. But it's interesting to me. Like I said, there will be somebody to respond back. That's not the way to go. So to finish up here, Joe, we're gonna change. Sorry, if you want to know why we're laughing, come find us. We'll tell you all about it. So to finish up, JT going for a three-peat this week, CIMB challenge there over in Malaysia. It's one of those joint efforts. What do you think? What are the chances?
100% for the boys, baby. JT's got this.
100%. Joe, you're making a lot of bets out there. Tiger's going to win.
Look, I'm motivated JT during the President's Cup. I think I single-handedly helped him out.
You guys are basically bros now.
Pretty much.
getting invited to spring break next year.
I hope so. That'd be great.
So we'll see. I mean, it actually got a pretty good field this year. I'm excited to see a lot of the PGA Tour guys are starting to go over now. So we'll be excited to see. I will be watching golf this week as opposed to this past week with the Safeway Open. I'm really looking forward to this one, mostly because, like we said, there are some bigger names that are starting to come and play this CIMB tournament here over in Malaysia. So really excited. I will be watching golf this week. Make sure you guys come back next Monday, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Joe will still be here. Maybe not. We'll see, depending on what you guys think of this video. As always, guys, make sure you like, comment, follow us. Make sure we can get in touch with you guys. Joe, how can people follow you again?
Follow me on Twitter at @JOE4JET, Instagram at the same handle, and Facebook at Joseph4Jet, F-O-R-G-E-T.
Thanks for listening, guys. As always, follow me, DanGaucherGolf.com, DanGaucherGolf, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. Joe, we'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.